talk about transitions and changes. And so we want to go to our Bibles. If you've been following along with us, we've been trying to teach on certain lines in the last little while. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to go verse 14, and no, 13 and 14. And we're going to get into the Word of God tonight together. I got a good messages coming through here on my live feed here. So let's go to Philippians 3, 13, 14. I'm reading the King James Version. And also read it in the New Living Translation, just to give it a little bit more meaning. And go to Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 18 and 19. Let's go ahead and start there with our text. We'll use that as a text scripture, and then we're going to pray after reading the scriptures here. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth for those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the same verses in New Living Translation says this: No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward for what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 43 and read 18 and 19. Isaiah 43, I think I might have said 53, but it's 43, 18 and 19, the King James Version. It says here, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it? I believe he's telling us that we ought to know it. I'll even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He's talking to the children of Israel. He did make a way in the wilderness, and he did make rivers in the desert. This incredible God of ours is supernatural, a supernatural God, and he's going to do things that are miraculous. I believe in these last days, I was telling my staff the other day, we're meeting on our weekly staff session, and I've been thinking about this for a long time, and for many, many years, and even more so now in these last days. You know, the Bible says in Timothy that we are in the last days, and the message and the information is all around us to tell us we are in the last days. In fact, the Bible tells us we are in the last days, and Book of Acts tells us we're in the last days, and Titus tells us we're in the last days, and Peter tells us we're in the last days. You read the epistles of Peter, and we are in the last days, and things are getting tough and getting rough, and but I want to talk to you about moving successfully to the next phase of your life. Moving successfully into the next phase of your life. You just want to call it moving forward if you want. Call it shorter. And, I'm going to repeat this again. Let me just say for an introduction here. Last week, my colleague gave you three important principles, I believe, a couple of weeks ago, about this year, how to be successful this year. And every year, people make changes and expect changes. You know, if you're not going to make changes, don't expect any. And you have to plan for good things to happen. I believe we ought to plan for good things to happen, not bad things. Number one, we should learn to forgive, he tells us there. Pastor Steve told us last time we got together, if we want to be successful this year, that is, we're going to have to learn how to be forgivers. You know, there's a lot of people walking around with all kinds of resentment, and they're having a pity party because of some unfortunate thing happened as a result of someone else. So they're carrying this resentment and anger and feeling sorry for themselves and saying, why did this happen? And and blaming the government and blaming President Trump and blaming Doug Ford and blaming the liberal government and their mother or their ancestry or whatever it is, they're blaming somebody. And I heard on a podcast, my wife was speaking about a podcast, that there's a group of people, even in our city, won't accept to take any responsibility of their actions. And it's easy to blame people. And so we need to learn how to do some things in the right way. So if we're all not going to make changes, we're not going to see anything different in the future. So first of all, we have to learn to be forgivers. Secondly, we need to learn to forget about the past. So I'm going to focus on that one, forgetting about the past. And the third thing we need to do is live by faith every single day. Every day you get up, it's another day of faith. And I want to talk to you today about transitions. And so, what are you going to be doing in the next phase of your life? My pastor and my leader are somebody we follow very closely over the years, has passed on, gone to heaven now. He said, the things that we cry about today, we'll laugh about tomorrow. You know, I can remember the things that I wanted so badly in my life, even as a kid and a young person. I cried about different things, even cried about a girl, and I'm glad I didn't marry her. I'm glad I didn't end up with that person. I'm sure some of you did. You know, I kind of laugh about these things, you know. I talked about my wife, and always said, look at that boyfriend you had, you know. He looks much older than me, doesn't he? And at least I got a few more hair in my head. So, extra pounds. But just a little joke there, but it's an inside joke. But I think you might relate to it. I know Pastor Ken relates to it very much. And he thanks God about it, that he didn't marry certain people and so on. So let's talk about this for a second. We can't always expect the same thing. What happened last year might have been last year. I'm talking about the good things now. And we want them to continue, sure, but it might not happen the same way. And so some have a hard time moving on in life because into the better strata of life because, they have a hard time with change. And so you'll never succeed if you want to remain the same, you'll never succeed in life if you don't want to make those changes. If you want everything the same, it'll never be any different than what you had. So don't expect anything different. If you didn't make any changes, we should be able to write some things down what we want to happen. And so I'm preaching to myself because I need to write some things down. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8 said this. About concerning changes and turning a new page in life. And so it says here, God told Abraham to make changes in his life and to move to a different location in life and get out of his cultural situation and get out of his familiar environment and get out of his home and his hometown. And sometimes God has to move you out of hometown. I remember years ago in the 80s, just graduated from school, was looking for a job in the city, and I wasn't quite ready to move. I was just in my 20s, my early 20s, and the Lord, I've been praying about different things as a brand new Christian, and I was ready to jump forward, but then again, I had a lot of hesitancy because I didn't want to move. It was very uncomfortable, and this scripture meant a lot to me. I can see this right now, but it means even more to me than ever before. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whether he went. You see, the Bible says it's by faith we have to move to the next phase. I don't know what your problem was last year. I don't know what the difficulties you had or even the good things. I believe if you had good things happen, there could be even greater things. Don't try to hang on to those things that you enjoy, but expect even greater things to happen. It's by faith that we go on to the next phase. And God called Abraham. He's called the father of faith, our example, that when we move on to the next phase, it's going to be by faith. It's going to be a step of faith. He was called to go out to a place which he should receive after for an inheritance. You see, God has an inheritance. God has some, you know, inheritance means wonderful blessings, good things. God has something wonderful for you. And the Bible says here that Abraham obeyed by faith. So you have to obey by faith and move on. And God wants our complete obedience, even when we don't know the whole picture. So we won't always, God won't always give you, much of a lot of information, exactly what you need or want at the time. But it's difficult to move to the next phase successfully unless we know God has a better plan. So he did promise between in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, and he said that he has a good plan for us. He has a future and a hope for us. That God has always has a better thing for you. Ephesians chapter 10, chapter 2, verse 10, in the Amplified Bible, I like an Amplified Bible because it amplifies it, makes it a whole lot bigger than just a regular King James version. We don't always talk in King James, you know, every day. I don't order my food in the King James language. And we don't talk, my wife and I don't talk in the King James. But I like to understand things very, very simply. So that's why sometimes I use different versions so that it just simplifies it for me. But it doesn't change the meaning of it. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says that God had preordained and fixed up that we should enjoy a good life, that he has great things planned for us. And I love that scripture, and one of my favorite scriptures in the New Testament concerning my future. See, you have to be willing to leave everything behind in your past, good and bad, in order to move on successfully. And you have to know the plan of God and what God has in store for you. You got to know the Bible and the things of God to move with confidence. Information gives you confidence about what's going to happen next, so you can expect good things. So making a step of faith is your first move that requires trust in God and not seeing the full picture in the natural. God won't always give you the whole plan. He simply wants your obedience. It says in Hebrews 11:8 says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave his home and go to another land that he would give him for his inheritance. The Bible says there in verse 8 of that verse, he says he went without not knowing where he was going. Well, you know, that's true. He did not know in the natural, but he knew in the spirit. You see, there's some things you could know in the spirit, but not in the natural. So your information comes from the spirit, from God and from the spiritual. Your spiritual nature knows different things. You can see with the eye of faith, not with your natural eye, the future. And so that's what happens to people who live all the time in the natural. They never get in touch with their spiritual side of life that they can embrace the future. And some of you need to make the shift from the natural to the spiritual so that you can see a whole lot better. So let's talk about making transition for a second over here. Psalm 104, verse 19, the New Living Translation says, you made the moon and marked the seasons. The sun knows it when to set. See, God has made seasons in the natural, and he's also made seasons in the spiritual for our lives. The Bible says in Genesis that God has made seasons for everything. The seasons of life will never change. And change will always be in our lives. There'll always be change. God's always changing something for the better for our lives. He always wants something new. And it's always going to be good for us. And if you're afraid of change, you're going to miss out on the good things of God. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1 says this. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity on earth. Now, God, who made everything, he says there is a time for every activity under heaven. There is for everything there is a season. I don't know what season you're in. I don't know if you're beginning of a new change, a beginning of a new phase, or heading into a new direction, or you're halfway through a completion of something. But I know it's going to be good if you're going to follow God. But if you're on your own, you're on your own. The word transition, we're talking about transition, means movement. It means passage, or it means change. That's what we're talking about. It means changing from one position or one stage or state to another, or changing from a different subject to a new subject, or a different concept into a new concept. It means change or transition from different things, like, you know, a child changed from an adolescence into an adulthood. That's a change. You know, we parents, you know, some of us, you know, our children are older now. They're adult children. They're on, most of the time they're on their own, but they still need us. You know, your family will always need you. You'll always need your parents, your dad and your mom, and your grandparents. And we as parents, I remember when I was making a transition with my little girl. She's, in school and going into from grade school to mid school or I don't know what they call it, middle school, or they call it junior high, or whatever it was called. Here is a little different. I remember the changes they were going through, and I used to take my little girl to the schoolyard and kiss her, through the day, say, have a good day. And after a certain time, she didn't want me near her. She said, it's too shy, you know. And kids go through that, and I had to make the change in my own life. And I remember there's a phase in my life, and when my kids changed from the, a young adult to adulthood, that now my role was different. And if you learn about different things about parenthood, you'll understand that your role as a parent changes as you go along, and don't take it personal when your kid changes and they want a different response from you. So, and everything, there's a change. And so some have difficulty moving into a transition because they want the full picture. And God don't always give you the full picture. He presents you a change, and He wants you to obey and follow Him. Most find it hard to deal with the unknowns of the future. And so that's where you need God's word to give you the confidence to move on ahead, and that gives you the momentum to continue. If there are seasons in our lives, there must be seasons of various changes in our lives that God requires from us change. You know, King Solomon said, to everything there is a season. Notice this again here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. He says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. I don't know what your purpose is in life, but, you finish different assignments and things change. And you have to be ready, or else it'll take you by surprise, or you'll just get right off course, and you'll even fight change. You'll fight what God wants to do in your life, and you might even be praying against the change. And we see that in the Bible, that God wants to do something for His people, but they didn't want change. They wanted to remain the same, or they wanted to be like the rest of the world. And so if you have that mindset, you might have a hard time following God, because it's a faith, a thing that we have to perform every day. So we need to be prepared for the future. What lies ahead of us, can require something from us. Paul, the apostle, was a person that he was committed to change after God called him. Look what he said here. We'll look at what he said. He leaves the past behind and he looked forward, he pressed ahead. Sometimes there's a pressing ahead because it requires us to move with some vigor and some energy. Sometimes changes don't come that easy. Sometimes they come easy supernaturally, and sometimes it requires a lot from us to make certain changes in the natural. Our flesh doesn't like it, and maybe perhaps people around us don't like it. So there's this new season for everything. There's a time for everything. There are seasons that apply to all of us, and they're not always easy. Change is not always something that we're used to. Say, for instance, families change. There's different things happen in families. People die. Like today, I heard somebody who passed away in a family, and there's a big sudden change. In fact, it wasn't really sudden. People know most of the time, if people don't live right, they, they're they might die, and if they don't make changes, they might die. No doctor will tell you you need to change your diet, or you need to exercise, or do something, or stop using drugs, or stop drinking. I've known a lot of people, and I was telling somebody today, I haven't done a funeral in a couple of months. Didn't mean that people weren't dying. I know there's some people that have died in the last, couple of weeks. People that I know, other people who I know that are close to people. But I was doing funerals left and right all fall and just right over after the winter changed over there. People were dying. And when people die, there's changes. Our parents get old and family changes there, and maybe they need extra help and requires more energy from you, and you have to do some more sacrifice. Your parents sacrificed your life for you, and then all of a sudden you find yourself doing the same thing for them. Now they're elderly. There's different changes happen in families. People sometimes break down, and it's not always fun going through a broken home. Kids have trouble. Kids go through adolescent phases, and maybe somebody becomes suicidal because of something, or gets into drugs, and you have to make adaptations and make changes in your life. It's not always easy. Marriages change, work changes, financial changes in life. Sometimes you don't have all the kind of work you're used to getting, the kind of money coming in, and you have to adapt your spending and maybe buy lesser stuff than you were used to before and for a season. So there's different changes that come on in people's life. And maybe somebody, your friend got married, and then you have to make a switch and you can't see that person anymore. Or your daughter gets married, moves away. And so sometimes parents get in the way of different things and cause a lot of trouble for their family and their children. So they come again. That's why it talks about, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined unto his in-laws. No? Doesn't say that. It said maybe they leave their home and join up somewhere else and have their own home. So things happen. Things change. So work changes. Sometimes people, they don't get ready for, they think they're going to work in that same job forever. Or the company changes. They have to find a new job. And maybe the company what happens is they fall apart and they have to find a new job. And maybe they get injured. Somebody gets injured. I worked in a college where people got injured to come back to work and have to get a new career. And so it was a tremendous change. There was one lady I knew, an older lady in her 60s. Her husband died, and she came back to school in her 60s and was making a change. Incredible things was happening. And so I've seen so many changes as a pastor, seen so many changes in people's lives. Financially and life with family and marriage and so on. And so there are different seasons, and they all affect us in different ways. And sometimes we respond wrong, and we have to have the right response to the different things that happen. So when you don't like a new season of change in your life, what do you do? What happens when you don't like a new season? Sometimes a new season comes upon us. We complain and become miserable, and we stay in the misery for as long as we can stand it, until we have to make a change. A lot of times, change doesn't happen until people decide they're gonna change their attitude, and do something about what they don't like. I heard a man quote one time: "If you don't like what you have, and then don't complain about what you don't make changes for." So you can always make a change. And there's always something you can do. So you can't always be happy with everything that's going around you. You can't be happy by trying to, you always try have the same routine all the time. Sometimes there's a disruption in life of your routines. You can't lose purpose. When a new change comes, then you can lose the purpose. I've seen this with families. The kids grow up. And now they have an empty house, and now they want to bring back their kids. Man, I'm waiting for the day when all my kids go out. I can just go out and go see the world, and you know, different things happen that way. People sometimes, they want to keep their family so close to them that they can't be independent from their children, or their children can't be independent of them. And so different things happen, you know. So sometimes we have a new assignment, and that will make you uncomfortable. Your wife has a new job. You have a new job. It requires you to work more and travel more. I don't know. I mean, this day and age with COVID, no one's traveling, but I believe sooner or later we'll have to do some more traveling. So say, you know, right now winter is here, and we've just had a really cold spell, like the devil moved next door. It's so cold, you got to put on different clothes. And I know people, some people like to make fun of us in the South. They say, you guys, I feel so sorry for you in the North, you know, it's so cold. And yeah, well, you know, we can't complain about it. We're living here. I mean, if God wants us to be here, I mean, I have a church here. I can't move the whole church to Florida. In fact, Florida's, I wouldn't want to live in Florida anyway. But, you know, you're required to be somewhere. If you're required to be somewhere, you can't, you know, change the season. It's a season. It's wintertime. So you have to learn how to adapt your attitude, even if you can change things. So there's some things you have to do with your attitude, or run away from God. That's what some people do. They don't like what they have, and so they run away from God. They want to do their own thing, and they never fulfill what God wants them to do, but they do what they wanted to do. And so that's going to be between you and God. So, you know, like certain seasons, it'll bring on allergies. And in the wintertime, you know, there's a lot of dust in the house. You don't get as much, you know, fresh air. I mean, you can open your door outside. You can go outside if you want, but there's a lot of static electricity, and your hands get cracked. And in the springtime, summer comes, there's people have allergies. They get headaches. I mean, different things happen during the season. There's seasons of changes, and some people say, my bones are sore. Well, I never had sore bones. For some people, it bothers them. So there are different things. So tough time, it helps to have some endurance. You know, if you could build yourself endurance, build the word in you, build the concept of God and His what He wants to do in your life, then you'll build that endurance in you, knowing that, when you know God wants you to be in a certain place, it's easy to put a smile on your face because you know God's in it. And you can't always just move for convenience, because you'll never be in the will of God if you just move where the sun is shining all the time. And you can't just be in the will of God all the time if you don't learn to sacrifice a little bit. There's a time where you sacrifice, you know. Paul said, I can learn how to be happy anywhere. I can be content anywhere. And that's what I think about people who laugh. You know, they live in the South or somewhere else where it's supposed to be warmer, and they're looking at us and teasing us on Facebook and feeling sorry for us that we're having a minus 34 degrees, and but they're having, you know, plus one, plus two, you know. But hey, you see, you know, I thank God I obeyed the Lord for what I'm doing. So what I'm trying to say is, you can smile and learn to adapt yourself and be happy, because you know God's in it. When you know God's in something, it's easy to make a transition. It's easy to stay where you're supposed to stay. So notice over here, we're going to talk about endurance for a while. Tough times helps your endurance. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, you know, this is the King James. I don't tell my friend, hey, brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Well, they don't understand what I'm talking about. You see that word, count it all joy when you fall. The word fall doesn't mean when you physically fall on the floor. The word fall actually in that verse of Scripture means when you're confronted with certain things, or when you come up against something, when you're facing certain things, when you're facing diverse temptations. That word temptations is not actually you're tempted to steal money or something, or you're tempted to commit adultery. That's not what it's talking about. This temptations, this word here means test in trials. And I believe the Greek meaning is the word is perosmos. It means pressures. See, all of us have pressures in life, and you know what the devil does? He'll come and pressure you, and he'll try to force you to make a parachute jump off something that you shouldn't be. He'll make you to quit something before something's finished, or he'll make you to go halfway through something and then to abort it. See, the devil wants to put so much pressure on you that when you're walking with God, that he wants you to abort that situation. So whatever God wants for you is never birth. And sometimes when you're going through seasons and in your time, maybe you're going through a change that God wants necessary, and you're having pressures and different things are coming on you, you will have to have some endurance. You're going to have to put up with certain things, knowing in the back of your mind or in your heart that this is God's will for you. And if you look in the Bible and read that not every person who was in the perfect will of God had the perfect season of life in their life, they had no pressures. You see, that's why Paul said, I learned to be happy in every season of my life. So you have to remain the same all the way through. So he said, when you come up against different trials and temptations or tests and trials, he says, count it all joy. So you can't count it joy when you don't know God's in it while you're going through the test. So when you're making that transition and you know you're going through some difficult times and difficult season, it's easy to have a smile on your face and say, praise God, with strength, knowing that this is going to be a short time. There's going to be change, and I'm laughing under my breath because I know something good is about to happen in my life. See, this is how you're making transitions. It makes it a whole lot easier when you know the will of God by reading the Word and by staying in close fellowship with the Holy Spirit and by having a close contact with your brothers and sisters who's going to cheer you on in the natural. See, we all need natural people around us that know the Scripture, that know the Bible, that knows the voice of God, that knows Scripture, that can say, hey, man, I know you're going through a tough time, but hey, we're going to get through this. So he says, knowing this. What's he talking about, knowing this? See, that's what I said. It's hard to be joyful when you don't know this. What is knowing this? Knowing that the trying of your faith, or at least knowing that the testing, the word trying is the word testing. Proving, the proving of your faith, work at patience or endurance. So everything we believe will be tested. When you're going through a change, if you know that the change is necessary, when you know, in fact, if you don't know that you're supposed to make a change, it's easy to quit. Then you won't be able to leave situations, and you'll actually go back to the situation that you didn't want to go to. You see, Israel in the Bible says they came out of a hard slavery, hard taskmaster, and they didn't own any property. They had nothing to live for every day. They were not joyful. They were not happy. And God got them out of that situation in Egypt. And so they had to make some changes in their lives. Follow Moses, you know, in the wilderness to get to where he wanted them to go, to the promised land. And they had some real tests during the, you know, in those seasons. Not because God was testing them, but because they were, you know, did not want to make the change. And so during the time, a number of times they said, you should have left us, stay in Egypt. And they thought about all the good things that happened to them in Egypt. Even though it was so terrible, they thought about all the good they might have experienced or some of the things they could have had. But God was telling them, I'm going to give you something in the promised land, something much greater than what you ever experienced in your entire life. And yet when they were going through a struggle, they wanted to go back. And so this is the thing about it. We need faith. We need to trust God and learn to move on with God's plan. So endurance, it says your endurance. Endurance means the ability to stand under trial or test and not become weaker. Endure means to stand strong and long, no matter how long it's going to take. So by faith, when we do it by faith, when we do something by faith, we get stronger as we go along, because our faith gets stronger as we look into the Word of God. So it's when you get your eyes off and into the trial and how bad it is and start complaining, that's the time, it's easy to turn back and quit. So every one of us is going to be tested. So God will not change His mind concerning what He has for you. Sometimes the change that He has for you requires you to make the changes that are going to make you very uncomfortable. You might have to face some fears. You might have to, loosen your belt a little bit or tighten up your belt or whatever. And you have to learn how to move on ahead with the things of God. So the Bible says over here in Romans 11:29 that God's gifts and callings are never withdrawn. So when God calls you to do something, like He did Moses, like He did Abraham, He didn't change His mind. So sometimes people, when there's a change coming on in their life and God requires something of them, they want to quit. See, God doesn't change His mind just because you got uncomfortable. That's still valid. That call is still valid, and whatever He wants you to do is still there. And if you jumped off and 5 years ago or 2 years ago or 10 years ago, whatever it is, if you just go back to it, you can just follow along again where you left off. See, God doesn't change His mind about anything. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 11, 28, the New Living Translation, it says this: "We know that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose." The King James says that God works out everything. You know, He works out everything, and He makes everything work together for good to those who love God. This is talking about those people who love God, who want to serve God. He's not just talking about anybody who's just kind of casually. You can't just take this scripture out and just casually apply it to your life. If you read the previous scriptures, you understand this, that God, the Bible right there says to those who love God. What does it mean to love God? To love God doesn't mean just have an emotional, a feeling for God. It means to, Jesus said in John, He says, those who love Me will follow My commands. You know, when you love, you ever notice that someone ever said to you, you don't love Me anymore, or I love you. But love is expressed as an expression, and there's not just verbiage, but action to it. When you love someone, it's because you can tell by how you behave with them, what you do, and your actions towards them. And so God says, when you love Me, it's because your actions are consistent, that you're following God. So God's going to work everything out for you, no matter what it is. So the Message Bible says this: consider it a sheer gift, my friends, the Message Bible of James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. When tests and challenges come at you from all sides, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into an open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let's do its work so that you can become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. And James, James 5, that's the Message Bible. Let's go to verse 5 to 8. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father God. He loves to help. He'll get you His help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think that you're going to get anything from the Master that way, adrift at sea, keeping your options open. So, you got to be really, really willing when you're asking God for help that you're going to make those changes. So stick close to God. Be a committed person to the change in your life. If God wants something change in your life. I know, sometimes we come to God and we're uncomfortable and we want God to help us to make the change. We know that we have to do something. And it requires a lot sometimes from us in the natural, to give up something that we love so much in the natural. Our flesh enjoys a certain aspect of life. And God says, no, I want you to make the change. Paul was committed to God right up to the very end of his life. He focused only on what the Lord required of him. God wants every one of us to be committed to his plan and his purposes as an individual and as a people collectively in his church. We need to work together in completing his purposes on earth. You know, I know that if I help somebody out, I'm helping the things of God. I'm helping my own life when I help other people. So we're working together. Here's what Paul said, starting from verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 48. He says, "For I'm not ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Verse 8 says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, for which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." He said that he fought a good fight, the good fight of faith. Moving successfully in God's plans requires us that we rely on him for everything we need in this life. Someone said he never leads us where he can't keep us. See, God will all, when he leads you, you have to understand that he's going to give you the ability to stay where you should be staying. And that where he leads you, somebody said, he'll feed you. He'll never lead you on something to starve and to lack and to die. He's going to lead you to a better place. So where he gives us vision, he gives us provision, as somebody said. Paul was done with his course in life, and he was ready to depart for heaven to the next phase. He was looking forward in anticipation of the rewards of finishing the race, what God gave him, and like us as believers as well. He was not disappointed nor sad when leaving because he was successful. He completed his transitions that God had given him. And the question is, are you ready? Are you like Paul said, you know what? Hey, I'm ready to leave. Not because I want to get out of this world. Somebody said, sick and tired of this world. But no, I've done what I'm supposed to do. And so thank God. You know, I can honestly say right here before people, before anybody, I could say this, that I've done much more than I ever thought about in my whole entire life. I've gone further than I've ever imagined. And with little I had, with little knowledge I had, with little support that I ever had in the natural, I've gone further ahead than I ever required. But I know this, that God has much, much more for me. And he's got so much more in plan for me. And I know I'm not finished, you know, at this time of my life. And God's giving me better things and more things, more vision, and to get stronger and stronger as I go along. So Paul was not complaining or lamenting about his past mistakes and failures at the end of his life, because he stayed faithful to the plan that God had given him. A leader that I admired, as I mentioned earlier, commented on this from time to time as I listened to him over the years that I watched him. And I know I became saved in the 80s, and I followed him right from the beginning until the day he died in 2000, early 2000 there. And he would have been over 100 years old now. He said this, "The things you cry about today, you will laugh about tomorrow." And I think about that many, many times. It made so much sense to me that what I cried about, what I wanted so much in my life, I look back at it and said, that was silly. You know, not at a retrospectively, I mean, look at back at it and say, you know, hey, I thank God that's not all I wanted. There was much more than what I got in life. And so the things you cry about, you'll laugh about tomorrow. And I laugh about it today. And here's what God said to the prophet Samuel. And he was lamenting and crying about, you know, his situation with Saul. And I'm sure we all can relate to this situation ourselves. In 1 Samuel 16:1, the Lord had to come and talk to him. And the Lord said to Samuel, this is talking about change and making the transition. He says, the Lord said to Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:1, New Living, "You have mourned long enough for Saul." You know, okay, so you feel bad. So you're crying about it. So that's okay to cry about it, but not to spend your whole life on it, and not to spend your whole next 10 years on something that you could have been further ahead. God wanted to heal you the day it happened. God wanted even to prevent some things from happening. And God wants to heal you by His grace because of mistakes or whatever happened in your life. And God will heal you and God will help you no matter what it is that you've gone through. Here in this situation, Samuel was having a hard time with the change that was about to come. And so the Lord says, you have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as a king of Israel. So fill your flask with oil and go to Bethlehem and find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected him from one among his sons to be my king. So there was a transition of leadership there from King Saul to David. Sometimes it's hard for us to get things around when we're used to one leader or one certain thing and to get to something new. It's hard for us sometimes to see anything different. And for instance, let me just tell you about Saul. Saul became king only because the people prayed and asked God and forced his hand to allow them to have Saul as their king. God didn't want them to have Saul for the king, but God allowed them to have Saul for the king and for the king. And so, God will, whatever you persist in doing, shows us in the scriptures that if you can continue to persist in pushing God, He'll allow you to do what you want to do. And it will not be good, and thank God for His grace, we can still be saved from the different mistakes we've made. So, God told him to move on ahead, stop crying about it. God wanted Saul to move on to the next phase of his assignment. And sometimes we can become over-emotional about the past and we can't move on ahead in life. If we can't deal with our past failures and disappointments, we can hinder God from moving in our lives that will be helpful to other people. It's hard when you are suffering so much in different areas, financially even. If you're suffering, if you disobeyed God in the areas of your finances and you're suffering financially, it's hard for you to be helpful to your own family or other people. And so our lives affect so many people and God wants to make the changes in us. We're going to have to yield to Him. And it's not always easy. So He requires us faith. He requires us to be obedient. And so, like I mentioned, Saul was the leader of Israel, but it wasn't God's best for them to have him as their leader. But God says to Samuel, "Okay, allow them. Just go ahead and allow them what they want. And they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me." So Samuel was trying to help Israel, and they wanted Saul for a leader. And Samuel said, no, that's not what's supposed to happen. And they kept bugging. No, tell God we want this. And the Lord says, okay, go ahead. But this is what's going to happen. It's going to be a tough time ahead. Tough times can come ahead in your life because you made wrong choices. But also tough times can come even when you do make good choices. But it doesn't matter. It's still by faith and you still have to obey. Thank God. So God allowed them for what they prayed about and asked God. They asked God for a king. God will allow you to do some things if you persist as well. People cry about a lot of things in life that God never intended them to have in the first place. People are crying today about things that God actually tried to show them. This wasn't my best thing for you. So now we're in a transition and making changes. And so so it's time to quit crying and it's time to move on. Leave the past behind. No matter if it was the good old days and the good things in life that you had, it's time to move on to a new season. There's a change coming. And this is just our first installment of this whole, we're talking about transition. And so we'll talk about this again. And when we talk about next time, maybe we'll talk about something a little bit different. But we want to learn about making transitions, learning to get ready for the change. So we're going to give you some specific details on what you need to do to make changes in your life to prepare yourself. First of all, the first thing you need to do is know that changes are there, are required of us. We have to know that, you know, we need the faith of God to make the change. And knowing that God has a plan, has a better plan than you. We don't know everything. And God will not show you everything. But if you will go to the Bible, read His Word, and get familiar with His, you know, His general will, and get to God and get to the Spirit of God and learn to fellowship with Him and pray in the Spirit and pray to God and get His personal preference, His specific will for your life. And God requires you, He wants you to be obedient to follow Him. That in the Scripture it says that, you know, Hebrews 11:8, that Abraham went not knowing where he was going to go, but he obeyed in faith. So God wants you to obey in faith. So tonight I want you to understand that God wants you to make that change today. He wants you to make the change for the better. There's something better happening. I want you to make this prayer tonight. Say, God, I want to thank you right now that there's a better thing for me coming. There's a new change coming. That you're forget the former things. I'm forgetting the former things. The last things that's happened, the old things, the good old days, I'm going to leave that behind. I'm looking for a fresh change. There's something new happening for me. And I pray in the name of Jesus, as I surrender my life and my will to you, Lord God, that there, no matter what, I thank you today that I heard the word of God and something in this message really made some changes inside me. I've made the changes right now in the name of Jesus. Well, I want to thank you, Father. And we come against the enemy who's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. We cover you, blanket you with the blood of Jesus by faith. We claim you for the God's kingdom and His will, His purpose, His plan. And that transition, the change is about to come. A new season is coming. And that it all is going to go well and all going to go for the better for you. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.